Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, Missions of the Lord as Stated by Himself. The Lord, on a number of occasions, stated why He came into this world. He was sent into this world, as we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Now, He was sent into the world, and He came here, and He states the reasons that He came. These are His real missions. The world was a missionary field, and He was the messenger, and He tells us why. Now, today, on the broadcast, we want to consider one of those occurrences when the Lord told us why He came. And we've said on the broadcast before, in connection with this series, that He always used the word come, or came, or is come, or words to that effect. This portion that we're going to be considering today is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 35, if you have your Bibles near at hand and wish to follow us. "But He came to call sinners to repentance." It's a wonderful story. It's a story about Matthew, a publican. We read it beginning at verse 27 in the fifth chapter of Luke. "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. Levi was his family name. But Mark and Luke call him by the name Matthew." And that is the title that is given to the gospel according to St. Matthew, is his name of Matthew. But this is Matthew. "After these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, Follow me." He was a publican. He was a tax gatherer sitting at the receipt of customs. "And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them, invited guests. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples." This was evidently after they came out of the feast. "And the scribes and Pharisees took them to task. They murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat with and drink with publicans and sinners? The Jew is not supposed to mingle with these people." Now, evidently, the Lord overheard this conversation. He overheard this challenge. And he came and he said, "Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came into this world to help people, people that were in desperate need, people who were indeed in need of a physician." And I think that it's this portion of Scripture that has given rise to calling the Lord Jesus Christ the great physician. For that's exactly what he was. He had a cure that nobody else had, the cure for sin. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You people don't need me. You're satisfied with yourselves. Until you realize you need me, I won't mean anything to you." Now, that is true in the very realest sense in the world today. It is not until we realize that we are sinners that the Lord Jesus Christ will have any significance to us at all. Now, I have to correct that statement. He will have significance to us even when we consider the majesty of His teachings, as, for instance, on the Sermon on the Mount. But, believe me, He is here to save us from our sins. And we will not have the proper respect toward the Lord Jesus Christ until we realize how we need Him. I'm not seeking a doctor at this moment, because I don't need a doctor. I'm feeling very well. But if I were very ill, indeed I would seek a physician. And I certainly do seek a physician to keep in good physical condition. Now, These things are just applicable to us today. These people, these Pharisees and scribes, they didn't feel any need of the Lord at all. They had no respect for him. They didn't need realize how desperately they needed him. And then they raised another question. They said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? We are depriving ourselves. We're fasting. We're making prayers. We're in earnest about this thing. They were such strict people, and they were trying so hard in their way of thinking of pleasing God. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Even John the Baptist called him the bridegroom. And he here is the bridegroom. Now they don't fast when the bridegroom is with them. The bridegroom is here to build a church, his bride, to claim her. And then they go on in verse 30. We go on in verse 35. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And the Lord was taken away from them. At the resurrection, he was taken back into heaven. Now here we have the Lord speaking to these people, answering the scribes and the Pharisees, and defending his disciples and the apostles. The disciples who were, actually, his apostles. All right, let's think about this for a moment, if you please. They that be are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The Lord's grand statement would have included the scribes and the Pharisees had they realized they had the disease of sin, but they didn't realize it. The most dangerous health situations occur when people have a disease and don't know it. That is so true about the dread disease of cancer. Cancer often exists long before any symptoms announce its presence. And the cancer is there, but it is not producing symptoms that are recognizable yet. And oftentimes, when it is developed to the point where the symptoms are apparent, then it's too late to do anything about it. I think that that's a picture, a very good picture, of our spiritual state before God. We have a disease, an incurable disease that's worse than cancer. It's spelled with three letters, S-I-N. And that disease is fatal. It causes actual physical death, as it occurred in, as it began, rather, in the book of Genesis. The soul that sinneth it shall die. Adam died. Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, and they died. And the Lord told them, warned them, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And death began the day they eat it. They died spiritually. The moment they ate it, but they died physically later. Now this disease is in our body, and we don't realize it. So many, many times, oh, I know in a sense, we realize that we're sinners. Our conscience tells us that. If they don't, perhaps our good friends will. If the consciences don't tell us that, our friends will. And certainly the policeman will when he stops us with a ticket to give us a ticket in the car. We will realize that we have broken the law, and the laws that be, the powers that be, are ordained of God. All right, let's think of it this way. We need to realize that we have a disease, and we need to go to the great physician. These Pharisees were not doing it. But I want to speak of a Pharisee who did do it. The greatest Pharisee, and turned out to be the greatest Christian, and I suppose that you have sensed now that I'm going to say the Apostle Paul, and that's exactly what I'm going to say. He was a Pharisee of the strictest order. The Apostle Paul was such a Pharisee that he persecuted the church. He thought the church was really aligned against the Jewish people. He thought of Christ as being an upstart. He thought of this man, Jesus, as being an imposter. He didn't come in the pomp and circumstances that the Jewish people expected. He came as a lowly carpenter, and he was not received. And he was finally crucified because they didn't recognize who he was. Now the Apostle Paul, or rather Saul of Tarsus, before he was the Apostle Paul, went up to Damascus to imprison the Christians there. And the Lord met him on the way. Now the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus at that time, had seen Stephen die as a martyr. And that man's face was so glorious when he looked into heaven, and his testimony was so sweet, and he died, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they..." Well, that was the Lord's statement. And he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge," which was really the same thing, in effect, at least. He prayed for those that were putting him to death. Paul stood there and watched that. And the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't know the Lord. And he says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks and the goads of his conscience." You know, I think that those pricks and goads started when he saw Stephen die. And the way he died, the peace in which he died, and the forgiveness that he begged for his executioners. They stoned him. Now, nobody but the Lord knew that. And Paul. When the Lord says it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, Paul knew exactly what he's talking about. His conscience had been disturbed. Well, I'll tell you, it resulted that Paul was saved. He trusted the Lord. What else could he do? You know, that is where we need to come. We need to realize, he speaks of this in the first chapter of his epistle, the epistle to Timothy. He speaks of how that he was the chief of sinners. He realized, he saw himself for what he was. He recognized the disease. But he met the Lord. And you know, today we will not meet the Lord personally, but we've got to meet him. We've got to come into contact, in grips with the living Lord Jesus ourselves, and have a dealing with him, and have a talk with him, and commit ourselves to him in a very personal manner. Our Father, today we thank thee for what we read in the Scriptures, and we pray that these words will indeed sink deep in our hearts, that we might really realize our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.